Mike, how are you? You gotta unmute yourself, but I'll give you a second here.
There we go. You hear me now?
Yes,
Awesome.
sir. How are
Good
you
to meet
this fine Friday?
you. Doing fantastic. Just coming off another call. Signing up for Albieware. You know about that?
I know about it, but that's about all I can say. I've never used it. I know the founder is part of the Restoration Rebel group.
Oh, cool.
And he thinks it's pretty cool. So that's about all I have. I don't know. I've never used it. I don't have a lot of user feedback on it. But hey, you got to do something. You got to have something in place.
My brother, one of my brothers and some of my cousins, they own a company here in Georgia. They do water damage restoration, pretty successful company, provision. And they recommended that I do that from the start because it's a new company, for me. Because they didn't do that, and now they're scrambling trying to figure out how to get things organized and keep things together. So they're using so many different programs to keep everything organized. It's just not good.
When you
And
have,
for them to change to something like that is just it would cost so much and so much time. It's just
what are
they can't.
they, so what are they going to do?
They're going to keep it like they're doing it. They're doing like Excel spreadsheets and, Gmail and just the old school way of, on by
Ouch.
hand and everything.
Okay.
So.
Right. So, yeah, what can I do for you? What's
I
going
need
on?
estimating mainly.
Okay.
Xactimate estimating. I'm using a guy right now that does my reconstruction. I did reconstruction for a while, for my brother's company who does restoration. And I realized I'm wasting my time with reconstruction. I'm still
Because
going to do it now.
it's not in your
What's that?
wheelhouse, or why?
It is. I have enough guys to do it. We did it for about a year, just reconstruction, dealing with insurance claims and everything. I got to learn the ins and outs of that for the most part. But seeing how the difference between reconstruction and mitigation, it's just a world of difference for revenue flow. And I just want to stick to that side of the business eventually. Right now we're doing both. So I have a guy that was doing my reconstruction estimates for Xactimate. Did a pretty good job, but he's very sloppy. Very, very sloppy. I had to do 2 to 3, times I'd have to do changes. Sometimes the agent won't, I mean adjuster would just look at it and be like, okay. And I'd get lucky, but for the most part, it's a struggle with him. So, and then he ended up recommending me to some other company that outsources estimating, and it wasn't you guys, but I was at a store, John Don. I don't know if in
I know John
Atlanta.
Don, but
Yeah, they
I don't know
recommended
every
you.
branch, no.
Yeah,
But
they recommended you there, and I was like, oh, who's that?
interesting. Interesting. Okay.
So then
Good.
I saw you on the Rebels Facebook group, which I joined like this week too. So.
Oh,
I'm learning
perfect.
it all at one time, so
Hey, welcome to our world. This is
appreciate it.
hold on tight and make sure you got a seatbelt. So
So
you've been doing this type of work for a while.
I've been doing so I started doing I was a firefighter for 10 years, and while I did that, I started a company doing just remodeling bathrooms, strictly bathrooms. Which was really good for a while, doing both jobs, kind of filled in the little, because firefighters don't get paid much here in Georgia, but so I did that. Then I decided to leave the profession 6 months ago to do more, focus more on the reconstruction. Then I realized, hey, I got approached by three or four plumbers that work with my brother's company. They were like, you're wasting your time. This is how much they're making. This is how much we're making from them. Referrals. I'm like, holy crap, it's just not worth it. So anyway, so I decided to get into this, and I have somebody helping me with a bunch of my software needs. I just need administrative help, estimates
What
and
were their this plumber, what were they what kind of referral fees were they getting?
10% from my brother's company. 10% across the board
10%
of the whole job. Yeah.
How are you going to make any money after that?
I don't know, but they do, and they're very successful. Those plumbers send them enough work for them not to have to touch any kind of advertisement at all.
Okay.
10% covers all that. You know what I mean? But yeah, they pay them 10%. They paid me 10% one time because I was on a job just doing some remodeling for one of my friends. I was just like, hey, I'll come by and help you out. I was like, how long have your floors been soggy over here, you know? The dishwasher leaked. And then they're like, oh, also our washing machine leaked last week. And I'm like, well, and they're like, but we dried it. We put a couple fans up. I'm like, do you mind if I look at it? I took a baseboard down and it was all moldy. I was like, oh, you need a restoration company. So I called my brother and they gave me 10%. They literally paid me 10% of their job, the whole thing.
Ooh.
So
Wow.
that they take care of their plumbers. The plumbers are feeding them with so much work. They're overwhelmed. They're giving me work.
Okay.
And I'm paying them for 10%.
Okay. Well,
So it's working out for a business model. But
that makes it very important to write a complete and detailed invoice and estimate.
Yeah. So that's, you know, for me, I was paying, Danny was my guy. I was doing my estimates. He's still doing my reconstruction estimates. He does okay with those now that I've kind of showed him, hey, we're missing these items. We're doing, you know, I saw some of provisions estimates for mitigation. And I, you know, I see how they're charging. They're very smart with it. I could even share with you guys. I don't know if you would want to see that before you start.
Yeah,
estimating.
I like to see, you know, the expectation. I like to, I like to know what, where the bar has been set. And my gut tells me that we can probably get north of whatever you guys were writing, just based on our experience.
I have that sense as well. That's why I'm reaching out. So, you know, I don't want to waste my time because I do have to pay that 10%. I do have a lot of, it's a new business. So I have to, I'm not bringing in too much, you know, so.
Well, can you ask him for a deal, at least in the short term, to help you get up on plane and say, hey, I want to pay you 10%, but how do you feel about 5 for the next year until I get my feet underneath me?
They may or may not. I don't know. It'd be worth
it's
asking.
It's worth asking. Yeah. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. And even if the answer is no, they at least understand where you're coming from, and they might, you know, cut you a break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 10% is huge. I mean, that is like, yeah. I mean, so you're paying them instead of paying a commission to, a project manager or somebody like that,
which I'm also making a deal with at the moment. I don't know. It's my brother. I have 11 brothers.
Okay,
a lot of us
okay.
are in the construction industry. So this guy is literally the best option I could ever find ever. Like he's just so knowledgeable, you know, about construction and enough about restoration already because he's worked with my brother's company a little bit. So no-brainer there, but yeah, I just need to figure out how to get good estimates written, and
okay.
I wanted to ask you your pricing, and then also for what other services you have. I kind of saw on your website a little bit. You know, what are you doing for most companies?
Okay, we do. We operate on an hourly basis, $165 an hour,
mm-hmm.
and that works out to usually less than 1%. We aim for less than 2% of the gross total of the project. And you know, the bigger the project, obviously, the smaller that percentage that on an hourly basis becomes. The smaller jobs, sub $5,000 jobs, are really tough to get underneath that 2% threshold. And that's why we don't guarantee 2% when you go with the straight hourly. But whatever it takes is what it takes. If we spend 45 minutes writing up a mitigation invoice for you, you're into it for $125 and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty straightforward. Early on, there's going to be a lot of back and forth. That's expected until, you know, you get a comfort level with us, we get a comfort level with you. And then things roll pretty smoothly. We will assign you a estimator. You will not be dealing with, you know, everyone in the company. You're going to have one person, one point of contact, And so that allows you guys to get to know each other a whole lot better and get in the flow a whole lot quicker. Mm-hmm. What we need is good data. You know, it's garbage in, garbage out. So if you're writing scopes on napkins and sending us 4 pictures and saying, make me $10,000, well, that's going to be a really hard sell. So it's key that you have in place. How are you going to document your losses? How are you going to write down, you know, how much equipment you had and things like that?
Are you going to need Matterport on this?
We'd love Matterport. It doesn't make sense on smaller jobs. It just, you know, to get that thing out of the box, you need to be north of $10,000 for a loss, I think. But 1 or 2 rooms, you know, a bathroom and a hallway, just write it up. Just take a bunch of photos, write it up, you know, sketch it up on paper. Mm-hmm. And that'll be
well,
good enough.
I'll be the software does everything from the sketch to the moisture readings, and then you know, it generates a report for you at the end. You just hit a button, generates the report,
nice.
water damage report, and I'll be able to send that to you directly. You use that, write your estimate, send it to me, right? And then I send it to the carrier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you don't send anything to the carrier unless you're doing program work.
Yeah. So do you recommend?
Let me give you my philosophy on that. I've been doing this for, well, since 2001. So I've been doing it a while. Every time you send the adjuster something, mm-hmm. you're signaling to the adjuster that this, whatever I'm sending you, is subject to negotiation, right? You're telegraphing that, hey, I'm sending it to you so we can talk about what you think is fair. And at the end of the day, you're never going to bill what you don't think is fair. So don't send it to the adjuster just so they can beat you up on it. Send it to your client. You said you're doing mitigation work only. So that is cost incurred, right? You're going to do the work and then you're going to bill for what you did. So the Xactimate we're going to work up, it's not an estimate, it's an invoice.
Yeah.
So why would you send an invoice to an adjuster just so they could beat you up on the work that you already did?
Right.
So all your communication goes through your client. You're not a licensed adjuster. You don't have, you don't have the ability to negotiate this claim with the insurance company anyway. So send it to your client. Make sure your contract is good. Albeware, I think, has some good contracts built in. I'm not sure. Work authorizations, things like that. Do they have like a iPad interface that you can have your client sign shit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they do have it. The signature, everything. You can send it or do it on site. I have contracts already from my brother's company. They shared it with me. So,
okay. Do you plan on?
I think they're pretty good with the safety agreement and the work authorization. It seems pretty clean. But
when anytime I hear the word work authorization, it gives me pause, because work authorization is not necessarily a legitimate contract.
Oh, okay.
So I'd invite you to send over your contract to me. I want to look at it.
Okay.
I'll do that. And are you familiar with assignments of benefits?
No.
Okay. Every time you go to the doctor, part of the paperwork you fill out is an assignment of insurance proceeds or an assignment of benefits that allows the doctor to collect directly from the insurance company.
So it's no different
in contracting.
Yeah. I think that's on the work authorization form that we have. Yeah, that's at the end. It says that the homeowner signs it, that I can directly request payment from the insurance carrier.
Yeah, a direct pay agreement is not an assignment of benefits.
Okay, so it's different. Okay,
it is. I'll send you some paperwork on that. And the reality is, most of us in restoration never had to do it, and most restoration companies don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But those of us that have had our asses handed to us enough times realize that we've got to have better protections in place than this one page, you know, fugazi work authorization that we've been handing out our entire career.
I hate to go to court or deal with that kind of stuff. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. The number one killer of restoration companies is cash flow, accounts receivable. I worked for three different restoration companies that went bankrupt because they did all kinds of work and then ended up not getting paid for it. The last company that went bankrupt that I worked for, Horizon Restoration out of Portland, if they didn't clear $1.2 million in revenue every month, they were moving backwards because they were so deep. Their accounts receivable was in the tens of millions, and they got so far behind the eight ball because they weren't doing things in the proper order. They still thought that the insurance adjuster was their client, and they just got buried. They had four down months in a row, and they were gone. So especially starting out, it's important you start a, you build a great foundation, and your foundation starts with your contracts, and assignment benefits needs to be a part of that contract. The other thing that needs to be a part of your contract package is a schedule of fees. You need to be able to telegraph to your client, these are the fees that you will likely incur.
Okay. Now I remember you now. I think I saw a video on YouTube about this. Okay. You're talking to somebody about it. Okay. I got you. That's where I've seen you before.
I've said it 100 times.
Connecting.
You know,
yeah.
Times.
Okay. I got you. Yeah. I've heard this before, but you're
and
the guy.
If, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't important. Yeah. And you know, I see these guys do it wrong all the time. And it's they're only hurting themselves.
It's, what'd you call it?
The assignment of benefits and a schedule of fees.
Schedule of fees. Okay. Gotcha.
And I can
yeah,
send
because I find myself negotiating with adjusters, and I'm like, this is such a waste of time. All right, I'll send you over the. I'll remove my manager hourly rate off of there for managing this project, since you don't like that line item and this line item and that one. All five of these. Then I ask my estimator to rewrite it, send it to me. By that time, it's like 2-3 days. Then I get sent it to them. They're like, all right, we'll review this. You'll get it back in 14 days. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is how this works. There's got to be a better way.
Yeah, you're
It's
negotiating
ridiculous.
against yourself.
Yeah, that's what I see. I'm like, something's wrong here. Like,
Yeah.
there's, I'm missing, and nobody's going to tell me. Like, these adjusters aren't going to tell me anything.
No, hell no.
So
they're not going to tell you that. So every insurance policy in the world has in it the provision, duties after loss. And part of the duties after loss is to mitigate further damage, prevent further damage from happening. In order to prevent further damage, mold, dry rot, all these other things that happen when a building sits wet, in order to mitigate further damage, you have to call in a professional like you and dry it out. That is a requirement in the policy. Those costs that are incurred are reimbursable. So what you're doing as a mitigation contractor is you are submitting an invoice. That cost is being incurred by the insured, and that number, once you invoice your client and they have it in their hands, that number is a reimbursable expense. It's not a negotiable expense. It's reimbursable. And it's in their policy. So that's where I'm very specific in the order of operations and who you communicate to. You never bill the insurance company because the insurance company is not in a position to pay your bill. The insurance company is there to reimburse their insured for the cost they've already incurred. So just keep that straight in your head. So you're going to bill your client. You're going to have, according to whatever's in your contract, late fees are going to start 15 days later or 30 days later. You're going to have lien dates in your contract, and that lien is going to be filed on day 62 or 65 or whatever. If I don't know what Georgia has, it's in the 70 day range, and it needs to be very clear. Hey, you've incurred $5,000 worth of cost. You owe us $5,000. If you don't pay us this $5,000 within 15 days, this percentage is going to be tacked on as a late fee. If you don't pay us our $5,000 within 70 days, we are going to file this lien. And it's those timestamps that's going to paint the adjuster into a corner where he has no choice but to pay your invoice in full. But the second you start negotiating and saying, oh, well, I'll take this off, I'll take that off, you lose. All that goes out the window because you've shown them that you are willing to negotiate on the fees that that you've already invoiced for.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because I mean, the only thing I knew was to take advice from my brother's company, which that's what they do. They're like, if you're not nice to the adjuster, then they'll you know, if you're nice to them, they'll kind of work with you and kind of be lenient. I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm doing the job. I have my prices. What am I going to do? Negotiate with them? Like, you know,
they don't sign your contract.
Yeah.
That's the insurance crazy. Adjuster never signed your contract, and they're not right. on the hook for your bill.
Yeah.
And you know, so what's the name of the company? Provision?
Yeah.
What's their account receivable sitting at right now?
I have no idea. But they do have a lady that does only that.
All she does is try to get adjusters to pay bills. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's going about it all wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably their average receivable is 60 days old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, depending on the volume, they could have $200,000 in receivables. Yeah. They're just sitting out there getting stale. Wow. Because they haven't shown the intestinal fortitude to bill their client and stand by the contract that has been signed. And it sounds harsh, but so is going out of business.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I have to rethink all this.
That's what I'm here for. Now, I am not one to paint a rosy picture that you're going to make millions and it's all going to be easy. You could make millions. It's not going to be easy. You make it easier on yourself by setting the rules up front and then abiding by your own rules.
All right. So the homeowner, just to recap, the homeowner chooses me as the contractor. I do the job, and I will first explain to the homeowner, hey, you're hiring me. I'm billing you. And you send this to your insurance company because you're their customer.
Yep.
And they're going to cover my costs. That's as simple as that. And
well,
they're
going to
sign the contract.
You can't say they're going to cover your costs.
Right. Well, all I can say is here's my invoice.
Yeah.
What I did.
Yeah.
Right.
Recommend to them they get a full copy of their insurance policy and read it and tell them in that insurance policy, there's a provision that where you're required to do this. You're required to hire me to mitigate this loss.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that requirement is they are on the hook per the policy to pay the cost that you incur. But that's all you can say. You can't say the adjuster is going to pay my bill because you don't know that. The adjuster is going to refuse to pay your bill until you stand your ground and you tell your customer, I'm not going to bend. And your customer says, your customer has to take this up the ladder. There's a mm-hmm. certain amount of responsibility that every insured has to handle their loss. Mm-hmm. And what we've done them a disservice as an industry. We've done ourselves a disservice as an industry by taking the insured responsibilities onto ourselves
mm-hmm.
when we don't have any standing. We don't have any standing in the insurance policy because it's not between us and the insurance company. It's between two other people that are not party to us. So, it's just important. And you're new enough. I feel compelled to lay this down in this way so you don't have any illusions about how this thing works.
I like it. I don't mind doing that. Shoot.
Good.
You know, I don't mind
and
doing
it,
that
it releases you from having to hire a full-time person to go chase this shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
I see that. Yeah. I see that. That's what I want to minimize. Like my brother's coming. Okay. They're doing great, but they have so many people doing extra stuff that I'm like, not really running efficiently as I thought, you know? Mm-hmm. So, all right. So you can do the invoicing. You can collect.
Yes. And we operate by the hour. So anytime we spend sending emails back and forth, anytime we, you know, spend time on the phone, the clock is ticking.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's just part of the deal. We are, you know, I'll send you an example of a letter that an email I sent yesterday, and we're not, you know, this adjuster sent back a 12 point, you know, freaking book of, well, we don't pay for this. We don't pay for that. We don't, you know, per carrier guidelines, blah, 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 blah. And I sent back three sentences and it said, yeah, well, first I led it with, In order for us to negotiate this claim with you, we're going to need these three things. I'm going to need your adjuster's license. Oof. I know this lady doesn't have one.
You could tell, huh?
Well, she's a third party. You know, so the insurance companies just farm all this stuff out to third parties, and these third parties act as their hatchet men to go cut these bills, to slash and just slash them up. So I said, I need your adjuster's license. I need a published copy of the carrier guidelines that you're referring to. That doesn't exist. Doesn't exist anywhere. And I need a copy of the policy, insurance policy provisions that say that you can mandate how we invoice. And what we can invoice for. I'm not going to get an answer to any of those three questions. They're going to pay that bill and move on with their lives because I've established that we're not going to negotiate. We don't negotiate with terrorists. That's it. That's just, there's no upside to having conversations with adjusters, especially on the mitigation side. The cost has been incurred. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about what you did or what you contracted for. So,
you don't charge a percentage then to collect. You do it by the hour as well.
No,
I got you.
Well, because I don't consider it collecting.
Yeah, this other company I was considering that collect. They offer the service, but it's 8% of every job, and I'm like, that's a lot of money.
That's
who
lot of
pays
money.
That? Yeah, I mean. For somebody to make a phone call, but knowing what you guys know, it's a little outside the box, I would say, in this industry. Like, I've never heard this except from you, you know?
8%.
8%.
Well, the dirty secret of that 8% is they're going to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
They're
Yeah,
going to
and I'm still going to lose.
They're going to take 10% off the bill, get it paid, or 20% off the bill, get it paid, and then they're going to take 8% of the leftover. Oh, that's a lose-lose if you ask me.
I think I might bring you my brother, honestly.
Well,
I mean,
it's worth having a conversation.
I care enough to help
I'm
him
out
out.
there.
Those guys they're doing their best, but they're overwhelmed, I think. You know.
Well, yeah, and they've taken on, you know, I've said this for years, and there's probably a video out there. Don't take on somebody else's responsibility.
Yeah.
We've taken on too much responsibility from the insureds. The insureds call us. And they think once they hire us, they're like, oh, I can just turn off my brain, right?
Yeah.
I'm not involved. I got a guy, he's taking care of it. And they're the only one with standing in the situation with the insurance company. We don't have standing until you have an AOB in place. That's the magic of an AOB. An AOB puts the contractor in the shoes of the insured, and then you can really fight hard. And then that gives you the right to sue the insurance company if they decide not to pay you. The AOB does so many good things, but people are afraid of it because it's seen as aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I always say, if you think that's aggressive, try running your business, you know, for 50% of their revenue.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get you 50 cents on a dollar instead of getting you paid 100%. That's my Friday rant for you, Mike.
I like it. Bring it on. That's cool,
next steps. I've got some paperwork for you.
Yeah.
We got a client intake sheet. We take a $500 deposit. That's a retainer that goes toward a credit towards your account. Uh-huh. We use that $500 as credit towards ours. Once that $500 is up, we are going to need a credit card, a valid credit card on file.
Yeah.
When we write our estimates, we send them to you, we bill you. Mm-hmm. We're not going to wait. We don't wait around for you to get paid. We don't wait around for anything else. We deliver our product to you. We invoice you. You have problems with it. If there's problems that are our fault, we're going to take care of them. Excuse me, for nothing. We're going to take care of them. But if there's revisions, oh, I left out a room. Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to revise that the clock's going to tick again. We're going to add that room. We're going to add those things, and we're going to bill you for that. But it's all out there, right? It's all transparent. You'll see exactly what we're doing. You own the files that we generate. We generate a Google Drive folder for every project. So all the pictures and all the ESX files and all the PDFs, everything goes in there. That's yours. You own it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as far as intake goes, once you get up and running, I think you can just send us a link to the Albie file. I don't know.
We'll figure that out. There's a way to bring to import. There was a lot of options for importing files. So I'll figure out what's the best way to do it with you guys.
Okay.
And we'll get that working.
Perfect.
You do a Google Drive, and it's the invoice is in an Xactimate form or what?
Our invoice to you, or
yes.
is no? It
no,
comes
no,
from
the invoice for collecting.
It'll be so. Yes, it'll be in an Xactimate, and so I recommend whatever software you're going to bill out of, use that for your invoicing, and then use the Xactimate as an addendum or a supplemental to that. So you're going to invoice, let's say you're using QuickBooks, or maybe Albie has an invoicing. I don't know.
It'll be QuickBooks. Yeah.
QuickBooks invoice, Xactimate attached.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Xactimate, the invoice or the invoice slash estimate coming out of Xactimate is not, it's, let me back up. Why do we use Xactimate in the first place? Right. Insureds don't understand it. Homeowners don't understand it.
No.
It's complicated as hell. Why do we do it? We do it out of a courtesy to the insurance industry and the insurance adjusters of the world, because that's the language they speak.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is translating the work that we do into Xactimate just so we can talk the same language.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we use Xactimate as a courtesy to the insurance companies. That's
right.
The only reason we use Xactimate. There's no other, there's few other good reasons to use Xactimate, because you could use QuickBooks, and there are people out there that just use QuickBooks. They don't write anything in Xactimate.
Mm-hmm.
They bill their insureds according to what they did, according to the contract in QuickBooks, and they get paid. So the only reason we're doing it in Xactimate is just to help the flow of information and ease communications.
Mm-hmm.
But your invoice is not the Xactimate. Your invoice is your invoice. You use the Xactimate as an addendum to that invoice, just for essentially color commentary and details for that grand total.
So you're going to write that Xactimate, and that's all you guys do? And I have to write an invoice by myself? I mean, separately?
Yes, you're going to have to. Well, yeah, we don't have access to your QuickBooks. We're not going to do your billing for you.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Just to keep up with my stuff, yeah. But okay, so you're just doing Xactimate. I'm sending it, attaching it, sending it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, Google Drive. All right. Awesome. Send me some stuff. And
okay. I've got mp.quality.homes@gmail.com. What's your company? What's your mitigation company going to be?
It's going to be Royalty Restoration. Which we're going to be switching it over to that in probably a week or two.
Perfect.
Because everything right now, all the jobs we're doing right now, which is half mitigation. I took like 7 mitigation jobs since Christmas. It's not that many. A smaller company, you know, and I'm also doing like 4 reconstruction jobs at the same time. So
now what's your plan with Recon? Are you going to
Recon's funding all my stuff right now.
Right. Are you going to push that off, you know, in the future?
Yeah.
Are you gonna,
oh yeah. 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 It'll just
gonna
be,
push it off to provision for a fee, or
provision gives me reconstruction as much as I want.
Oh, okay.
For a fee for 10%.
So
I'll
they
have my,
give you
I
the
won't
job,
be taking it.
Wait, they give you the job, but then you got to turn around and give them 10% of it?
Because they gave 10% to the plumber who gave them the job. So it covers their fee, and I have to pay the fee. Yeah.
But are they working up the estimate first before they give it to you?
No. They just give me the lead. And it's a recommendation that
so
I,
the plumber,
every one of the recommendations, I got the job.
So the plumber waits to get paid, obviously, until the estimate's generated and the job's done, or the estimate's generated and negotiated?
Job's completely done, then they get.
Okay, so they're 6 months out. Yeah, they're.
Yeah, yeah. They just refer the jobs and, you know, just wait for the money. Eventually they'll get it, you know. They probably
so
don't.
So how do they know what that 10% is?
They don't. It's our family. My My cousins are all the plumbers in our
Okay.
area. We all live in the same area
That's
within
nice.
20 miles.
That's
And we have
convenient.
like we have a one company with like five of my cousins working there, and they generate a ton of jobs. Then they have we have two friends from our church who are plumbers, three actually. They generate a lot of work for us. They send a lot of jobs over, and they
Okay.
all get 10%, every one of them. So, but I
Well,
don't know if I'm gonna do it. When I get, how am I gonna get leads? I have to find plumbers, you know.
I mean, you can still operate in that same environment. You just got to make sure that the sheets you're writing are nice and fat and
Well, we'll see how
juicy,
you do.
which we can do that absolutely. The one surefire way to do that is to use a custom pricing. I don't know if Provision is using custom pricing or not,
I don't think so. I
but
don't
when
think so.
you're operating
They
in
have somebody writing their estimates, and then they kind of review them and say, "Hey, can you add this or that?" And then they send it up, you know.
But
So,
they're all using the underlying pricing database that comes off the shelf. And I'm assuming they're using the standard 10 and 10 for markup.
Which I've seen in one of your videos you explaining you
That's
can
not
charge
enough.
whatever you want to.
Well, you
So it
should
doesn't
charge
cover
whatever, not whatever you want to. You should charge enough
reasonable,
to cover your overhead and make a profit. And 10 and 10 markup is a 16% gross margin, which equals a 1% profit at the end of the day. No one lives on 1%. No one lives on 16% gross margin. Your gross margin goal should be north of 35%. And I've got my markup calculator right here, taped to this monitor for a reason, because this comes up 5 times a day.
Nice.
Come on, focus. Yeah, there. Oh, there
Oh,
we go.
there it is.
Okay,
Wow.
so what's a 20% markup get you?
Oh, only 16.6.
Gross profit. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you need 35% gross profit, what do you need to mark up?
Yeah, 25%.
55%.
Oh, I see that. 55. Wow.
So,
So you guys try to push for that, or you just put it on there and
we
you're
push for it all the
recording?
time.
Oh my gosh.
I've got, we do it a whole bunch of different ways. And I'm actually writing this estimate in front of me, 1.4 million. And I'm writing it for an attorney. And he has asked me not to adjust the Xactimate pricing. All right.
Why?
That's what I'll tell you why. Because what I was doing before was, I was assuming that the industry, the adjusters, wouldn't blink at 10 and 10, right? So we got 20% of our markup there, but we need another 30. So I was taking the price list from Xactimate, marking it up 30%, and using that in my estimate. So the pricing already, all the costs are marked up 30%. I'm marking up the grand total another 20%. That's my 50%. That gives me the margin or the anticipated margin that I need to make a profit. So this particular attorney said, I understand that, but when it comes to, we look at everything as it's going to be in front of a jury. Try to explain that to a jury, it gets very, very confusing. So he's asked me, don't use anything but the standard pricing, but use an appropriate markup. So the markup on this estimate is not 10 and 10, it's 25 and 25. But it's
And
legit.
then you could easily explain that, though, easier
It's
to
easy to explain. Contractors need to make money. They need to make margin. They need to make, cover their overhead. And you go anywhere on the internet, you're going to see anywhere from 1.4 to 1.65 or 1.7 factoring, depending on what industry you're in. High-end remodel, obviously, they're gonna do a 1.75 factor. What is that? That's a 75% markup, right? So we're using a 1.5 factor. We're using a 50% markup in order to our goal is to get a 35% gross margin, and that is a whole lot easier to explain. Adjusters lose their freaking minds, right? Because they think 10 and 10 is so much money. You're making 20%. even though every time I say that's not, I'm not making 20%. No one's making 20%. That's a markup. That's not a margin. And, you know, these guys lose their minds. So, but it's important that you know what you're going to charge going in and how we're going to write these things. I would say, I would recommend to start out with, we use the 10 and 10 that we're going to be given, right? But we also, we factor that price list by, you know, 30% or 20% or 10%, something. We factor that price list to try to build in some margin for us. And then see how it goes. And you're going to have this conversation every time you use, you know, that was one of the line items on this email I mentioned earlier. She said, well, you didn't use the standard pricing. We only pay standard pricing. You know, in response to that, I said, well, show me that in the policy where it says it mandates contractor pricing.
Yeah.
It doesn't. So, but if you're going to continue to pay this 10% off the top, you got to find it somewhere. You got to build that shit in.
So I need to get new contracts.
Yeah.
I need to get new paperwork.
Ed Cross.
So you guys have that stuff too?
I don't because I'm not an attorney, but I do know where to find it. Edcross.com is a great place to find it.
Okay.
He's got your AOBs and he's got your restoration contract packages. They're not cheap. I think you're going to spend $1,600 between the two of them, but it's going to be solid. It's going to be bulletproof. And that's what you need. You need bulletproof paperwork on the front end to go with, you know, all your regular stuff. Like you know about right, you know, notice of right to lien, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So that just becomes your AOB and your schedule of fees. And now we will work up a schedule of fees for you. Once we decide, we're going to have a conversation what your markup's going to be. We're going to take that markup. We're going to put it into a price list and we're going to give you a 1 or 2 page schedule of fees that you can insert into your contract. So you can say, Ms. Smith, you know, what's this going to cost? And you can wag, oh, it's going to be about $5,000, but yeah, here's our schedule of fees. See, we charge $35 a day for an air mover. We charge $150 a day for a DU. You know, we charge, it has all your standard charges on it so that you can have a best guess of like, okay, this is what we're going to charge. That schedule of fees is important because when you're using a custom price list and the adjuster comes back and says, well, we only pay $20 a day for an air mover. You go back to your contract and the schedule of fees says, Ms. Smith signed right here. She agreed that $35 a day was reasonable and she's signed on the dotted line. That's what we're charging. So all these things are so important. And what we're trying to do is just eliminate any kind of leverage that adjuster would have on us.
Man. So the reconstruction becomes profitable, I guess, at this
which
point.
Which is like the point.
Rethinking how it would all work, yeah.
That's the
so
point.
I'd probably end up keeping both the mitigation and reconstruction. Since I have the crews, I might as well, right?
Yes. Huh. 100%.
Well, I cannot wait to see the first invoice.
Say what? You know?
I can't wait to see this first invoice.
Yeah, me too. Okay, Mike, I'm going to have to let you go. I got to take this.
Sure.
Well, you got any more questions? Because I can just take this real quick.
No, go ahead. No, we'll catch up. Just send me what you want to send me and we'll get going, okay?
Okay, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Appreciate you. See ya.
Hey, Cole. Hey, man.